This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning and hello and thank you to those who are watching the show this morning on YouTube or on Twitch. The show every day on Twitch is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. And if you're in the market for a diamond, then travel to tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and get one at Springer's. Just go to springersjewelers.com to learn more. They have the very best prices in New England. Joining us now, a man who made me look like an absolute buffoon last week, which some would say is not that hard to do, the great Rob Ninkovich. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I was in New Orleans. You know how that goes. So... I'm here now.
What time?
Happy to be on with you.
I guess Bourbon Street got you. Is that what happened?
Oh, I was fishing on Thursday. Then we got back, and I had a few cocktails and maybe a few more. Uh-huh. And I woke up at like 9, and I missed my time. So.
That's forgiven, honestly.
Yes. It's New Orleans.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's New Orleans.
NOLA.
Yeah. I love That's NOLA. Right.
So your grade, Patriots draft-wise, Robert?
I'm going to go B++.
Okay.
Wow. Pretty high.
I'm not a big A on a draft class. The whole A plus or A, that whole grade on that, to me, everything is basically potential anyway. And now it's up to the players to go out there and perform. And then maybe in a year or two, you could say, wow, that was an A-plus draft. Yeah. But everybody that you have right now, they're still just rookies that played in college, and you don't know what's going to happen. So for me, we'll see what happens. Similar to that 2010 draft where they had a ton of talent and they had great careers. So now you look back at that draft, you're like, wow, that was a heck of a draft. And those guys contributed. So we'll see what happens. You know what, though? I love that first pick. I love it. Mm. And, you know, the just his interviews, you know, like – it just got you going. You know, it just brought you back to, hey, I want to go out there. I want to go one-on-one with Will Campbell, and I want him to baptize me. And I'll just be laughing the whole time.
See,
you know,
Wiggy,
I'll be giggling the whole time.
Wiggy hated that pick.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it. I wasn't a fan of it.
I mean, how could you not when you got a guy that's like, yeah, man, I'm just here to rip some heads off.
Yeah.
You know, it's
nasty.
Like you know, nasty. I'm nasty. How would you define your game? Nasty, man.
Nasty.
I'm telling you. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to protect my quarterback like it's the only thing I have on this earth. And
nasty.
I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to play offensive line. Dude, it's like it just gets your heart racing. And for me, when you look at that pick, that's a necessity. They needed a lineman that potentially could be here for 10-plus. Now, that's all potential, like I said. But, you know, it's similar to like a Matt Light pick where you bring a guy in who's – got a super talent to him and his mentality's there. He seems like he could be a great leader, concrete guy. So, you know, I think it's a great pick.
But even to your point, Rob, Matt Light went in the second round. I would have rather seen them have gone maybe traded down and then took Tyler Warren. I know Shine was on Ashton Jeanthe. I would have been happy with Ashton Jeanthe. I feel like you could have got their lineman in the second round and one of the skill players with your first overall pick, and that's where I disagree with them. Yeah, he might be a great player, but I just disagree with them taking a lineman at 4 rather than a skill player.
Well, if was a 5th, we all be drunk.
That is true.
I mean, you could have done a lot of different things there, but having that fourth pick and having that guy right there to where you could say, hey, if we pass this up, if we trade down, if we get something else, we don't solidify the offensive line, which I think right now the offensive line is probably the biggest glaring need that to protect the blind side of your third overall pick, who you think is going to be the future at quarterback. You know, having two young guys together, you could have a good run here for a long time. So I think going and getting that pick, and if you knew, like, coming into this draft, this is what we need. If he's available, we're going to get him. And guess what? Let's not look back. I think they did that. And that's, you know, to me, it was great. This draft, to me, it looked like they knew what they needed. They went and they got it. And, you know, now it's up to them to go out there and produce.
So arm length, not an issue for you?
You know, it's all footwork. Offensive line stuff is footwork based. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I go back to some of the hardest matchups I've gone against, it was guys with great feet. And he's got a great set. And when I talk about set, getting to the spot and his quickness. And, you know, I go back to when we played the Ravens. I think it was one of the AFC Championship games, and it was at home against the Ravens. And they had Marshall Yanda, who was playing tackle. And going into that matchup, he was a guard, Pro Bowl guard, you know, one of the best in the league. And I kept watching film. I'm like, okay, he's a guard, but he's going to be out of tackle. How am I going to attack him? And I tell you, it was really tough for me because he was so quick and he was getting to the spot. And when you're going against guys that have great footwork, it really messes with outside linebackers, pass rushers. So I don't think the arm length is going to be any issue. Matt Light, you know, I think he had 33-inch arms. You know, it comes down to your technique, your footwork, and your consistency. And I think he's got, you know, all three of those things.
Rob, you were in Chapel Hill a couple weeks ago. Wellness, yeah. Check on Bill. What the hell is going on with that guy? I don't know if you saw the interview yesterday.
I did. I wish you would have put a different shirt on. Somebody said put the holy, the worst looking Navy shirt on. I mean, it must have been, you know, 30 years old. But anyway, I went down there just to check it out. You know, beautiful campus. I've never been in that area, so it was an opportunity to go check it out and help coach a little bit. It's just, you know, the crazy part about college is you realize that the majority of these kids will never play a down in the NFL. So you're working with a lot less talent. And when you're in the NFL a long time, you're with the best of the best. So the best player on the best team in college is in the NFL. And then you go back to college, you realize, like, wow, these 90% of these kids won't even touch the field in the NFL. And some of them are getting paid, which is just nuts that all of them are getting paid. It's nuts to think that some of these kids that are getting paid aren't very good, but they think they're good, you know?
Was your trip down there organized by Jordan Travel Enterprises LLC, or how does that work?
I did not come into contact with that aspect of the organization, no. I did not see her. Come across anything. You know, I went down. You know, Steve's a good friend of mine, so you know, I went down, hung out with Steve for a couple of days, and it was great. You know, you love getting back into the swing of going into the meetings and, you know, working with guys in practice. And the one thing I would say about college athletes, they're eager to get to the NFL, so they want to learn and they want to, you know, they want to get better. So it was cool. I really enjoyed it.
What is your guess at why Shedeur Sanders dropped so precipitously?
I would probably have to say the interviews, maybe, you know, and that's all hearsay on how he interviewed. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a job where you have to, you know, go into an interview. You have to represent yourself as you would if you were on the team. And if he didn't do those interviews well, or if he came across as, you know, kind of arrogant and, you know, too big for certain teams, then I could see how that would be a big problem for these teams. And I was listening to earlier on the whole, like, gold chain thing. Everyone's got a gold chain. I got a gold chain on right now. you know, so yeah. The whole rap thing, too, it's like, come on. Everyone's listening to rap.
Rob, you know the perception of how certain dudes, they carry themselves And especially black athletes, if they're in the perception or, like, you know, whether it's people in the front office, I've even had position coaches where they look at and you carry yourself in this way, they instantly think because you act and dress like a rapper, you act like a rapper.
Well, I mean, I've been around a bunch of guys, you know, in my career, and I've seen a lot of different situations where guys were probably more over the top than mm-hmm. some rappers, right? And they were having a good time, and, you know, they were great football players. So, you know, the whole rap, you know, this guy's going to bring the entourage and all that. I really think at the end of the day, some of the modern, right now, this situation that we're in 2025 with the cameras and the entourage and everything that you do is recorded and it's documented and they're making, you know, videos and YouTubes and, you know, your platform. I think that also could cause an issue for some guys
yeah.
or teams, because they're like, you're bringing on not just the player, but you're bringing your entourage. You're bringing this whole thing with you and they're recording everything. And, you know, at a certain point, you're just trying to build a team with individuals and you're trying to lose the individuality to bring together a team. And it's really hard to build a team now when all these players are individuals and they're just about, you know, hey, I'm going to try and brand and market myself, you know, the legendary brand.
Yes.
He's already branding himself as legendary before he's legendary. You have to go out and produce to become a legend.
Yeah.
Don't you think that the college game, though, needs to figure out NILs? Because this is just going to continue where guys are making millions and millions of dollars coming into the league.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, look at the quarterback from Texas. He was going to make millions. Now he's making league minimum almost.
Right.
He's a seventh-round pick. So, you know, some of these guys were crying because they lost $6 million. Right? They weren't crying because they're happy to go to the NFL in the seventh round.
Yeah.
It was interesting,
you know,
though.
They're like, wow, I just listened to my agent say I was going to be drafted first overall, and guess what? I lost $40 million. I better start crying. I think the problem now is, like, for example, you see somebody getting paid in college, and they're out there, and they're screaming, I am him, and I do this, but they only make 2 out of 10 plays. Right? Like, to be that person, you have to make 10 out of 10. You got to be 12 out of 12, 14 out. You got to be the man, you know? And I think there's a lot of, you know, people that are delusional, honestly, on what they really are, because the majority of college players won't even make it to the league.
That's it.
That's what's going to happen. And I think we're creating a huge mental health crisis for players, because they think they're going to be these, you know, football gods, and they're going to end up looking for a 9-to-5.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway that I heard over the weekend that landed with me about the draft is that we're done with the middle drafted quarterbacks. In other words, there's going to be first round picks and like sixth round picks, because people in the NFL either think you could be a starter now, or if you're 2 to 3 year project, they're not going to take any action on that until later in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that in some aspects, but you also have to look at the way the money is trending now. And if you are a team that has a quarterback, you're paying $60 million per. You know, I mean, what is the highest paid quarterback's what, Dak? He's making $60
million? Yep.
So you're tying yourself to somebody, and it's going to take 4 to 5 years before you're even thinking about a quarterback, because you're automatically guaranteeing these guys massive amounts. I mean, even Cleveland, they handcuffed themselves so badly because they gave a terrible contract to a quarterback who didn't perform on a fully guaranteed deal, and now they're still handcuffed because they still have to pay him for the next 3 years. And, you know, there's just such a small pool right now for these quarterbacks where if you're going to pick somebody in the first round, they better be great.
If you're not good,
you're screwed for the next 4 to 5 years if you draft a top five quarterback and he's not good.
Well, Rob, what I think it is, it's really about the hype that they get when they're in college. Because if you look at last year's draft, for example, I mean, think about the hype that Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Caleb Williams got, but not just them. Then you throw in J.J. McCarthy, you throw in Bo Nix, right? So to me, I think it's more about how the NFL hypes these college quarterbacks. So, like, next year's quarterback class, everybody's already hyping up Arch Manning, right? But then what about the other guys behind them? Are they now going to say, oh, next year's going to be a really good quarterback class? Because that's, to me, where it goes. And I think a lot of people were just down on this year's class, and that's what it ultimately showed.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you put Drake May's draft class against this year's draft class for the quarterback, I don't think it's even close, right? Like Daniels versus what's available, Drake May versus what was available this year. And then all those teams that were needing a quarterback last year who picked and got their quarterback, well, they're set for the next 5 to 6 to 10. If you're lucky, you're hoping that you hit a home run with your pick. And, you know, this year you look at the number one pick, okay, Tennessee, they pick their quarterback at number one. Now, you would have thought, I personally thought that Shador was going to go in the, like, if he was going to not get drafted in the first round, he would have been gone in the second round. Because after you look at the draft and the way it goes, okay, these teams needed a quarterback. Well, they picked the quarterback. Now, they're not going to pick another quarterback. So, Cleveland picking a third and a fifth, I just thought that just didn't make sense to me, right? Like, if you were going to pick Shador, why wouldn't you have picked him in the third round? So, you know, I just think that there's a lot of teams right now that that position at quarterback is so valuable. They looked at it and they say, hey, we already have a quarterback. We don't need a quarterback. Let's move on and let's build our roster in any other capacity that we can.
Rob Ninkovich gives the New England Patriots a B+, and he rarely gives an A. That's basically so. That's a,
I know I'll never give an A until after they perform, Greg.
All right. Well, it's great to hear your voice, and you should come to a roadshow. Join us at a roadshow this spring.
Where's the next roadshow?
Well, we're in Springfield this week, but we're going to. I know you love New Hampshire. You got the shop up in New Hampshire. Maybe we could get you out at Bernie's at Hampton, or maybe we'll get you out at Winnipesaukee. Maybe join us at the Dive.
I'll go to Winnipesaukee. I've never been to Winnipesaukee.
Okay.
Never been.
All right. We'll get you up there for the July 3rd, Winnipesaukee.
Love it.
All right. Okay.
July 3rd. I probably won't be there on July 3rd, but hey.
Just 4th of July weekend, Rob. You in?
Maybe I'll just call in with my, poolside. How about that?
All right. Good to talk to you. Thank you. There's the great Rob Ninkovich, everyday listener of this radio program. Made up for his, I guess, missing us in New Orleans,
right.
I think. All right. We are going to get to Courtney in today's news coming up. Right now, Courtney, with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Celtics get it done in Game 4 after dropping Game 3 in Orlando on Friday. Final score last night, 107-98. Both these teams had moments where they had nice runs, but it was the C's down the stretch led by Jason Tatum to get it done. Tatum ending the night with a double-double, 37 points and 14 rebounds. Game 5 is set for tomorrow night back in Boston. Tip is at 8:30. Other NBA playoffs yesterday, the Pacers go up 3-1 on the Bucks, and Dame Lillard down with an apparent Achilles injury. Not good for him, so the Bucks may be dead in the water. The Timberwolves up 3-1 on the Lakers, and the Knicks up 3-1 on the Pistons. The Red Sox took
Curtis, when is Adam Silver going to get involved in these playoffs and save the Lakers?
Better be soon.
I got to tell you, that was a big L for me. That one,
still time, though, Curtis.
I'm not giving up.
Adam,
the guy that listens
to
every word I say that since I was out on Brady, I'm not out on it.
Here's what you got
to
do.
That was an awful overturned call if they're trying to get the Lakers in the finals.
I think, like, maybe Anthony Edwards had like that bad behavior.
Yeah.
Maybe you could suspend them for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
But why did they overturn that call with LeBron and the ball out of bounds when the Lakers were down a point? Like the broadcast team.
It's a foul from the drone perspective.
Awful.
The Red Sox took care of the Guardians yesterday, 13-3. Brian Baio went 6 innings, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 4. We can hear from Alex Cora from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show talking about the incident we're going to get to in the news about Jarren Duran and a fan.
No, I was in the corner of the dugout, so I think security did a good job. You know, this is a two-way street. That's something I said last year. You know, we made a mistake last year, and we learned from it. And we grew up, you know, as an individual and as a group, but there's limits, too. And I think security, they did a good job of it. You know, I think the fan, whatever he said or whatever was going on, security felt like he crossed the line, and they kicked him out.
Certainly did. The Sox off today before heading to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays tomorrow. To the NHL playoffs, the Oilers tied up their series with the Kings. The Capitals up 3-1 with the Canadiens. Carolina leads the Devils 3-1, and the Blues tie up their series with the Jets. And for the Pats, after taking a starting left tackle in Will Campbell in the first round, they got Ohio State running back Travion Henderson and Washington State wide receiver Kyle Williams in the second round before taking another offensive lineman in Georgia center Jared Wilson. On Saturday, the Pats turned their attention to the other side of the ball using their first three selections on defensive players and added a kicker. And the Subaru of New England Love Spring event is here. Spring into your next adventure in a 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Greg, I have an idea. I have to get it off my noggin before I forget. What about next year? Roadshow idea. Backyard Greg Hill Roadshow. You apply for a chance to have the Greg Hill Show at your house as a roadshow.
All right. I like that, Curtis.
I don't know. We're thinking about going to Ninko's house, so that popped in my head.
I like it.
58 degrees and sunny, afternoon high of 73.
We're going to start with a scary story. A Suffolk University student, Aiden Naster, was walking home to his dorm on Saturday night around 11 p.m. when he says he was attacked by a group of teenagers. So Naster says he was walking when all of a sudden he was shoved unprovoked. He turned around. That's when he was surrounded by the group of them, which beat him to the point where he blacked out.
Where was he?
Somewhere in Suffolk, some figure
that's
somewhere.
That's one of the W's.
I know.
Downtown, right?
Well, it was at Suffolk University.
So, what about the Boston Street. Common?
On Main Street by the Shell gas station.
Oh, okay.
Nope, that is the wrong one. Yep. No. On Tremont Street.
It was on
Tremont.
Yeah.
sorry. I'm very sorry.
Shake the cobwebs off. By Wednesday, you'll be great.
By tomorrow.
By tomorrow.
Your girl's going to be back.
10:15, we're good.
Yeah, she had a good weekend.
I did. I had a great weekend. But I shouldn't let my night job affect my
Do you
day
think
job.
It's the fact you're around guys when you didn't see one the whole weekend?
That's true. I'm awestruck when I look around this room. But he blacked out. He suffered a concussion. Here's Aiden on Boston 25.
The cut from the bottle, it was on an artery. So I lost a lot of blood. There was blood everywhere, and that's why I couldn't see anything, because there was just blood all in my eyes.
Damn, they cracked him over the head with a bottle?
Yeah.
Gosh, not good.
Really, really
not
scary. Yeah. But he says he's going to press charges when they find out who these kids are. There's a New York Times story on the findings of the pilot from that Army Black Hawk helicopter that sadly collided with the plane and killed 67 people near Reagan International.
Can I just say, before you get to this, this was at the end of like a 3,000-word New York Times investigation. It was shockingly hidden. The definition of burying the lead.
Okay, so they didn't barely touched on it.
Barely.
Yeah.
So Captain Rebecca Lobach missed an order from her co-pilot, Andrew Eves, who was overseeing her training mission to change course and avoid the descending American Airlines jet. So saying, like, go left, she wasn't going left. Mm. Along with the error, officials found that the pilot stepped on some of the air traffic controller's instructions, meaning while air traffic control was speaking to her, she pressed her mic, cutting them off.
Oh, so they were saying go left.
Yep.
And she was not going left.
Correct.
Oh, boy.
And so they're saying, looking at the entire findings, that many things were mishandled, unfortunately, by the captain. And that led to the death of 67 people.
Why do you do training at nighttime?
I think it was like it wasn't training. Like, she had 500 hours or something. It was like a
mission.
Like a yearly checkup thing or something.
Yeah, but this one was like a mission to get somebody very important out under duress. It was a training that was supposed to be about a certain thing that could potentially happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that another big component was that because it was training for that, the transponder was off, because many of the people they're training to remove from an event are very high profile and people don't want to know where they are. So that also led to the issues with the crash.
Hmm. And the Guardians have released a statement to Jaren Duran and the Sox apologizing after the Sox 13-3 win yesterday. Duran was involved in an incident with a fan in the middle of the seventh inning. The fan initially yelled at Duran as he was running back to Boston's dugout. And it seemed like, and Jaren Duran has confirmed, that it was a reference to Duran's 2022 suicide attempt.
I mean, despicable comment.
Terrible.
Do you like the do you feel like you understand him reacting
100%.
To the fans? Oh, yeah.
100%. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Credit to, if you look in the background, there are some Red Sox fans that are yelling back at this gross fan. And when security showed up to figure out who said it, other Guardians fans pointed him out.
Right. That's good.
Got him booted. The statement read, "We are aware of the situation that took place during today's game between a fan and one of the Red Sox players that violated our fan conduct policy. We recognize the gravity of the behavior at issue here and take very seriously conduct of this nature. We apologize to the Red Sox organization, the player involved, fans in the area, and are addressing the situation. We have identified the fan in question and will work with Major League Baseball regarding next steps. We strive to provide the best experience to visiting players and fans, and that fell short today."
Yeah, there's lines you don't cross as a fan when you know, obviously that, when you know somebody has dealt with that, you know, the racial element, you know, the homosexuality line, there's like certain lines you just don't cross.
Yeah, gross. We have a new inductee, and this is a wild one, into the Pervert Teachers Association.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Curtis, we head across the pond to England for this. 54-year-old Anthony John Felton, a married principal at a school, attacked a teacher, 51-year-old Richard Pike, with a wrench. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see it going down due to, quote, overwhelming sexual jealousy.
Oh.
So it was a love triangle at the school.
Oh, wait. So the principal was hooking up with the teacher?
Yep. Principal Felton was outraged when he found out that Mr. Pike had slept with another teacher who Felton had recently been in an affair with.
Wow. Okay.
And Mr. Felton, Principal Felton, believed he was the father of the female teacher's child.
Oh.
We call him Principal Felt Up.
Yeah.
That's never a good one. When you got to go to Maury for the DNA to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
But one reason why England's better than the United States, that wasn't a gun, it was a wrench. The man survived.
But, I mean, to watch it, he pulls it out of his vest. Right. He goes to town on the guy. Mr. Pike suffered only minor injuries, in the assault, and he was granted a restraining order against his old boss. Felton was sentenced to 2 years and 4 months in jail.
Good. He should probably do the rest of his life in there after that.
I mean, I love England, but do they not have HD yet? What was that camera footage?
People in the Twitch are crazy, Mr. Pike, the Pike boys. Damn.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, you could kill, you could kill somebody like that.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't.
A wrench to the back of the head?
Yeah.
Bullocks.
The MBTA is developing automated cameras now to mount on buses and poles. The reason is they want to catch drivers that are blocking bus stops and bus lanes.
And to what? Send you a ticket?
Yeah, so the cameras will automatically take photos of your license plate and you will receive a ticket in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hear from Alex Hollowell, the director of transit property for the MBTA on WCVB.
The goal of this is not to generate revenues. It is for people to obey the law.
Yeah, okay. I love how buses and bikes take precedence over everything else in the city. Mm-hmm. Like, every regular person trying to get somewhere and do a job is subjugated to their they go first. So.
It's insane.
Okay, what else?
We go to Florida.
And now,
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Come to Miami,
Florida.
Florida.
Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
I do believe that alcohol is to blame for this next story. This man, Richard Christopher Smith, he stole some booze from a convenience store and police were called. So he led police on a bit of a chase. And then he offered the police a sip of his alcohol.
Oh, okay.
We do have audio of this all going down, the sip, the chase, and the eventual tase that got him into custody.
Stop. Stop.
I said, give you a drink. That's it.
Show me your hands now! Get on the ground now!
Get on the ground!
Put your hands on your back!
You guys have fun, all right?
Is So a guy was kindly offering them a sip of his Cizerp or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
a vodka soda.
Oh, vodka soda.
Yeah.
Okay,
right. And he said, you know, after he got tased and back on his feet, he said, "You guys had fun though, right?" So he was just trying to have a good time. He was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer. His bond was set for $120,000.
Sometimes, and you only really see this in Florida, there are some people who are resistant to the tase.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're resistant to the tase, then
we need backup.
You are a lot. You're a good time.
Yeah, we need backup.
Yeah, if the tase doesn't work.
Yeah, then, I've seen plenty of videos like that. If the tase and the mace don't work, got issues.
The tase scene in Hangover is just so great.
Yeah. The first sperm race was on Friday in L.A., and we now have a winner.
How did it go?
So it went pretty well. People loved it. People wagered a combined $329,000 as students from USC and UCLA went head-to-head. Mm-hmm. USC.
Sorry, please don't say head-to-head.
Sorry. USC. Well, I shouldn't say this either. USC came out on top.
Okay.
The sperm samples were provided beforehand and presented to a lab assistant using a microscope on the stage. Once the samples were under the microscope, the race began. Both competitors stood inside large glass tubes on stage as the sperm navigated the course. The course was to mimic the reproductive system. Then the entire event was to address a apparent decline in male fertility. It was to bring awareness to that.
Yeah.
Here's the final of the race.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is to determine a champion. One more time, UCLA on top, USC at the bottom. This is for all the marbles. Send the swimmers through the finish line. Oh, my God. And this looks like a tighter race. They're neck and neck. Tristan with a slight lead there. And we'll see how they make it through these turns now. Remember, that big ball is the halfway marker. Sometimes having more swimmers doesn't mean that they're faster. These are head-to-head. We might have a photo finish. This is going to do it. Tristan Milker explodes through the finish line. USC wins.
Sounds like a party, like an event you want to go.
No, I mean, it looked like a UFC event. Like, they had weigh-ins.
Tristan Milka was the winner.
Not his name, is it?
I think it
That's
is.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
See, we have to know where the sperm comes from. Because I'm putting my money on, like...
I think we know.
No, no, but is it like a Nick Cannon or a Philip Rivers or an Elon Musk? Because them swimmers probably move at a high rate of speed.
Yeah. Right.
But if it's like, you know...
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill's another good one.
But Chime, people will wager on anything. Isn't that a $350,000 wagered on this?
Yeah, this does not shock me. As someone who wagered on Russian table tennis for a brief time, this does not shock me.
Well, do you think, like, because since they did the weigh-ins and everything, would you wager on somebody who was more fit? Or somebody, like, I mean, you can't really figure out sperm. Yeah.
You don't know who the sperm's coming from.
Yeah, it could be genetic.
No, you do know who the sperm is coming from. Oh. That's what I'm saying. They did weigh-ins and stuff.
You can wager on the
person,
the finalists. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they had a halftime show by Ty Dolla $ign. Yeah. Like, that was
but
crazy.
But your favorite part was the finish.
It always is.
So the sperm, the contestant's sperm is in a cup, and then they pour it into the race.
Well, yeah, they were given the sample beforehand.
Well, I need some background on my...
I said that.
Yeah, I would definitely need...
Yeah.
Did they give
us
any?
I do not know what type of, like, I don't know if you know their sexual partners.
Wiggy wants
their
history. Dossier. No,
I want to know, like,
everybody competing.
Does this person have multiple kids? You know, I want to know what his strength is like, his strength and his weaknesses.
Does this person wear a big chain, drive a Bentley?
Yeah, exactly. I want to know, does he have BDE?
Well, maybe this is something that Shador could excel at.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Do you have BDE? Because I feel like if you got BDE, I would put my money on you.
All right, is that it on
That's
the news?
That's it for the news.
Course.
My D is bigger than yours.
I love that story, though.
Yeah.
I would definitely go to an event like that.
I think they'll become popular, I think.
Yeah, probably.
I think
why don't you wager on it? You like to...
I would. That's why I would lean a little bit like on a... You know, like, I bet on the UFC fight the other night.
Yep.
And you get background of your fighter, right?
You could probably parlay it.
Right. You could call it a doubleheader, just say, come again.
If I'm Nick Cannon, I would be interested in maybe a nice payday joining this event.
Why not?
Showing yours.
Right. Thank you, Courtney. We will be right back. Jackson grabbing a winner, I believe. Chime, is he in process when it comes to getting the ninth caller?
He sure is, Greg.
Okay. I'm going to do that all week because I have a pair of tickets I could give away every single day. So just a heads up, if you listen to the show on the reg,
whenever you hear Shime come back from a commercial, rejoin with an AC/DC song this week. Just be the ninth caller, and I will get you tickets for Gillette Stadium.
That's pretty big, right there.
AC/DC. Seems like Gillette, I don't know, maybe it's just my interest. They have a lot of good concerts this summer. Fenway Park, not really that exciting to me.
Fenway Park's got Chris Brown. That's a good one.
Yeah. What I just said. Not that exciting.
Forever by Chris Brown is an all-time banger.
Is the Post Malone show, is that at Fenway or is that Gillette?
Gillette.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to go to that one.
Kendrick Lamar is at Gillette too, right?
Mm. Yeah. So not too many that are of interest to me. This is Mike from Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? Happy Monday.
Yeah. What's up? What are you calling about?
I know it was something that you guys were talking about a little earlier with Shador, but I wanted to kind of throw my thoughts in. Because Wiggy was talking about, you know, maybe the NFL doesn't understand the culture and then, you know, the people that are – obviously the people that are hating on him, like, and having – like, enjoying it and enjoying the prank phone call, those are just, you know, the typical troll-type, you know, morons that exist in the society we live in. So – you know, he's going to have to deal with that for the rest of his life, no matter what. But in regards to the culture thing, you make a good argument, because obviously the NFL is run by, you know, mostly old white dudes, and they don't understand it, and that's normal. It's okay they don't understand it, because it's not their culture. But, you know, that culture argument gets made, and I don't always like it in other scenarios where you've got somebody that's from the South, and maybe they've got a picture on their Instagram and they've got a Confederate flag in the background, and the people from the South will say, well, that's our culture. And other people say, well, that's racist. Well, and then they'll say, well, no, it's not. It's our heritage, and we're just proud of our heritage. It's our culture. So regardless of whether it's culture or whatever it is, it's the way that the league perceives things like that, and that's not going to change. It has nothing to do with hatred. It just has to do with, okay, we're taking all the variables from Shador Sanders and saying, okay, here's the talent, here's all these other things. Are all these other things, is the talent worth all these other things that you have to deal with?
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to side with a guy that has all the other things that you guys talked about earlier in the show.
Yeah, I think Wiggy, you know, hit the nail on the head this morning when it comes to talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they didn't see the talent there, and then you have to all this other stuff comes
plays
along,
into it
comes along,
and it would go the other way too. Like, let's say, for example. Who was that? They believe it was Quinn Ewers, right?
He dropped precipitously.
Right, right. But let's say Quinn Ewers was in a similar situation as Shador Sanders and had Confederate flags draped all through his crib next to boar heads and deer heads and moose heads. Like, there would be owners that would, and people in the football world that would look at that and go, wait a second, this is different, even though he might believe it's his culture. And granted, the two cultures are different. One's hip-hop music and rap culture. That is just music based on people's environment and how they grew up.
I would really hope that nobody now at the age of 20 has a Confederate flag.
Right, where the Confederate flag means something completely different.
It's like,
So it's like the culture of what... You know, when I say that, because I've been around and I know how, like, coaches and GMs, and Courtney and I were talking about it. Like, they did it with Cam Newton. Cam Newton's pre-draft interview with the owner at the time, Jerry Richardson, asked him, you got any tattoos or piercings? And Cam was like, no. And he said, keep it that way. So it's like, even people with tattoos, like, they're if you don't understand that culture of where that person's from, you can kind of start relating the negative part of it with the person who just enjoys the music or might be from there.
But can't you just, if you're an NFL executive, can't you look at Shador Sanders and say, the talent, I don't believe the talent is going to translate.
Right.
And he's kind of a dink. Like, and it can have nothing to do with his culture. It has to do with his character.
But yeah, but you can say that to a certain extent, which would, like Shime said, drop him out of the first round and maybe into the second round or the top of the third round. But when you have guys
going in the second and third round like Dylan Gabriel or the kid from Louisville.
I mean, Ryan Leaf was as big of an a-hole as could ever exist, and he went second.
Right.
But he didn't have the baggage of his father. Like, I think that
no, he had the baggage of drug abuse.
Yeah, but
what's the dad?
I don't think they knew that, Curtis.
Well, but
they
I mean, he didn't interview well because he was. I mean, he was a total disaster in that process.
Yeah, but they. Like,
what's the baggage of Dion? So Dion's cocky.
He just retired his kid's number.
All right, but that's
when
like,
he was 500 as a quarterback, right. Less than 500
but
as a quarterback.
All right,
like
so.
I you know that he's going to be involved in the whole entire process when it comes to the whatever team his kid is on. In
yeah,
the
but
NFL.
Still a full time employee of Colorado, no, like coaching his own team.
You don't
Greg.
Think he's going to start interfering and saying things if he doesn't feel like the team is treating his son right,
what?
He's going to be talking about it publicly the whole entire time.
The fan base of whatever team he's drafted is not going to side with Dion. They're right. going to call him an a-hole.
Yeah, and once the Mannings were drafted, Arch Manning disappears. Like, that's kind of how it
Arch
works.
Arch Manning they is get, nowhere near the same as Neon Dion Sanders.
They put their kids in a position where they get drafted high because that's what they want to do. They want to help their kids succeed. And then once they go to the NFL, it's up to them whether they float or drown.
Yeah, but along the way of making sure that your son succeeds, you need to teach him how to be humble to an extent. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the issue that I have. It's the way in which he talks about who he is.
Right.
And I think that there is a difference between being confident and cocky, and he's coming off extremely cocky,
but there
and
are,
he hasn't proven himself.
But there
in the
are
league.
Other people, like Baker Mayfield was one of the cockiest players
Correct.
Out there. So
and look
was
how that panned out.
Johnny Manziel
some success in
this last season.
And if you want to
because he went through like five different coaches.
If you want a new character
Johnny
issues. What about
know.
Eli's older brother, Peyton? Look at what he did with the freaking trainer in Tennessee.
Yeah, and Johnny Manziel is another one who had a bunch of character issues, and he went first round.
And it was an absolute failure.
But we're not talking about whether or not it was a success or a failure. We're talking about those guys still went first round. Like, they're
And now it's years later, and these teams are looking and saying, we've had headaches in the past. Some people have not panned out, so maybe we need to take a better look at who this person is and the way they conduct themselves.
But they went Zach Wilson number two overall a couple years ago.
Okay.
So he had issues.
Well, what did he do? All he did was smash one of his mother's friends.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with that?
But, like, Shadur doesn't even have any off-field
right.
issues.
So
he's
like,
just cocky. That's literally it.
We're not saying he has any off-field issues.
We're
saying that the way in which he conducts himself is off-putting, I'm sure, to an owner who wants
right.
who's going to spend millions and millions of dollars on this person being their future. If he's going into interviews with his headphones in,
right.
if he's not showing up to interviews, if he's telling teams he's better than them.
Like, Shyam, how would you feel about somebody applying for a producer role here who has an entourage of 15 people with him for
the interview? Has he spent 4 years in college radio kicking ass or having tape to prove it? Like,
I think Baker Mayfield is the best example of this because he was a total dink.
Right.
And he didn't drop at all.
Right.
No, he went higher.
He was the first pick in the draft.
They thought he was going to go like 10th. He went number one.
Right. And the Patriots were picking up the phone, calling to see if they could trade up to number two. Johnny Manziel the same way. All I'm saying is Shador has done enough on the football field. He's got a career average of 71% in completion percent. On the football field, whether you think that maybe his talent is not great, okay, we can dispute that. But there's no way you go from being a projected top 5, top 10, top 20 pick to a fifth-round pick.
Well, there is a way, and you just saw it this weekend.
But there's some shenanigans involved in it.
Shenanigans, okay. All right, we have got to take a break. I'm sorry. We're just a little bit behind. We'll be right back.